From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Senior U.S. military officials say that after the upcoming Iraqi elections, there will be a sea change in the way the U.S. trains Iraq's struggling army and security forces. Planned changes include having more U.S. soldiers live and work with Iraqi units, as well as conducting more joint patrols. Officials say they'll draw from lessons learned in Afghanistan, where they say that training model is starting to pay off. NPR's Eric Westerveld reports.
After disastrous Iraqi security force meltdowns in Fallujah, Mosul, and elsewhere last year, senior U.S. military officials say it became clear that the few effective Iraqi units were those that worked side by side with American soldiers. Now a senior U.S. military official says after the elections, U.S. and allied forces in Iraq aim to mandate those closer partnerships in training by installing more advisors to live with Iraqi units. Quote, the more we can teach, coach, and prod these units with American advisors, the official told NPR, I think we can defeat or suppress the insurgency. The idea, the senior official said, on condition he not be named, is to, quote, stiffen the spine of these Iraqi units. General John Abizaid is commander of U.S. forces in the Middle East. He says there are training lessons from Afghanistan applicable to Iraq.
It's very clear that the close relationship of American trainers to Iraqi units that continues after the training process is over and extends into combat and field operations is a key to success. It was a key to success in Afghanistan, and it will be a key to success in Iraq.
General Abizaid says the Afghan parallels only go so far, given the different nature of the insurgencies, as well as sharp cultural and historical differences between the countries. He calls long-term training of Iraqi forces a generational challenge. But in the short term, General Abizaid says, increasing close-quarters mentoring will boost the confidence and capabilities of Iraqi forces.
It'll also give them the ability to bring in U.S. firepower as backup when they need it.
In Afghanistan, officials concede that U.S. training of the Afghan National Army was initially ineffective and slow, the very same complaints now heard about U.S. efforts in Iraq. Local Afghan warlords used the U.S. training to sharpen the skills of their own militiamen. But all that changed, Afghan and U.S. officials argue, after a training emphasis was placed on putting American mentors into each Afghan unit, after giving them a 10-week basic and an 8-week advanced training course. 16 American trainers per battalion now stay with each Afghan Army or ANA unit for up to 2 years.
So when an ANA unit deploys to the field, our U.S. or coalition embedded trainers will deploy with them, and they eat, sleep, and patrol with them. So they're there with them 24 hours a day.
That's Air Force Major General Craig Weston, who leads the U.S. training effort for Afghanistan's new army. In an interview in Kabul, Weston says installing U.S. trainers for that long a stretch has proved key to Afghan unit cohesion and combat effectiveness.
It's a real commitment, but the feedback I've gotten from our embedded trainers is they grow to become a part of the unit, and they really consider the Afghans to be brothers in arms. So when it's time for these embedded trainers to leave the unit to rotate home, it's difficult for them because they have built this tie, and they've been through a lot of experiences together.
A military source says the expected revamping of training is a central recommendation from retired General Gary Luck, who was sent to Iraq by the Pentagon to assess operations. Key input will also come from commanders on the ground, including Lieutenant General David Petraeus, who's in charge of training the Iraqis. The Pentagon says more than 125,000 total Iraqi security forces are trained so far, but it's not at all clear, some officials concede, how many of those troops are effective and combat ready. A senior official says they hope to triple the number of training advisors with the goal of eventually dedicating about half of all U.S. soldiers in Iraq to the new training mission. One of the few Iraqi poster units for effectiveness is the 36th Commando Battalion. The military official says the 36th and a few other Iraqi units are now conducting high-end operations on their own. But those forces got lots of hands-on attention from elite American Special Forces, who coached the commando units from the very beginning. That takes specialized skills that not every U.S. soldier has.
To build trust and confidence with a counterpart, like an Iraqi battalion commander or company commander, doesn't happen just because you report in and you say, I'm going to help you.
Retired U.S. Brigadier General David Grange has trained foreign commando and counterinsurgency forces from South Vietnam to South America over a long Army career. Grain says it'll be extremely hard to replicate that kind of personalized attention on a large scale for all Iraqi armed forces.
You have to understand the tribal cultures of those that you're working with and just have a feel, a taste, a smell of the environment and know how to live with these people. And that's tough to do. Special forces are very good at it because that's one of their primary missions, and they're trained to do that from the time they put on their green beret. But you just can't throw in any conventional unit officer, NCO, or National Guard or reservist and expect them to be really good at it.
Despite misgivings, Grange says the mentor option may be the only way to go. But he and others also worry that rampant insurgent infiltration of Iraqi forces will prove a huge security challenge for U.S. advisors. They'll have to stay alert at all times, Grange says, to stay alive. Additionally, the advisor model raises concern among human rights groups. They recall the specter of Central American forces that use their new U.S.-trained combat skills to commit egregious human rights abuses, particularly in El Salvador and Guatemala. General Grange says it's a real concern, especially given the vicious nature of the insurgency and the history of brutality under Saddam Hussein.
It's hard to teach a military that came from a country of three decades of a lack of respect for human rights to allow those people to change overnight. And there will be incidents, no doubt in my mind, this will happen, and the U.S. advisors will have to report that, which presents another, you know, issue and camaraderie between the advisor and advisee.
And there's another obstacle. From now through March, there's a massive turnover of U.S. forces. New divisions are rotating into Iraq to replace units that have been there for a year or longer, units that recently increased the number of training advisors. One official said that turnover will likely slow down any training overhaul as new units get up to speed while battling insurgents who are almost certain to try to test newly arrived American forces. Eric Westervelt, NPR News.